Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The rule in Bible study and Bible teaching is that whenever a sentence begins with the word wherefore or therefore, it is a conclusion. Certain things were said before, and the writer is now making an application. That's the rule in Bible study, any Bible study, any Bible reading. Whenever you read wherefore, go back and read what is before wherefore. Paul the Apostle is not addressing strangers to the gospel, but frequent hearers and listeners to the gospel. The setting of this exhortation began in verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5, where there's a call to imitate the perfect example. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor or fragrance. The example is that love for God is the giving of oneself to others. It is a sacrificial love. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many. Recently, we were in some very humbling situations. We were called to minister in a hut, two chairs, a table, and everyone else on the floor. And as I look around the hut, it just broke my heart to see what people were through to hear the gospel. And I look forward every Sunday afternoon to going that hut with the smoke blaring into your eyes, and the people staring in your face. No Bible. Of course, one girl had a little testament. But love is giving yourself to others. They had a song in Zimbabwe. Some people didn't like it. Love is not love until you give it away. And I understood what that means. Love is not love. And some of the young ladies were told not to misinterpret this song, because men will come and say, love is not love until you give it away. And many a young girl has lost her virginity by a smooth-talking fox. The example of love is the Lord Jesus. And the best one you and I can imitate when it comes to service is our Lord. Today we see how many people are imitators. They do things because somebody else around them is doing these things. The trend with many young girls in rural Zimbabwe is getting a baby. I don't know what is so fascinating with a 16-year-old girl pushing a big stomach. It is a reflection of broken homes, fathers who don't want to be fathers, and it only goes to show God's word is right. Whenever there's a father presence in the home, you can see a difference in girls. I applauded Mrs. Tagiri for raising two clean daughters in Harare. I asked her recently, how did you do it? Guess who? Spencer. A man in the house. And fathers, I say to you, be fathers. That's all I can say. At least we here in the United States have been given a greater moral light. Or girls, I don't know what they're doing, but somehow they're able to show a moral life. Imitators. Paul says here that we are to be imitators of God and not of men. Walk in love. But the apostle states a number of prohibitions that erodes love. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. Saints are those who are set apart in the church to serve God. They're not necessarily saved, but they're set apart. The children you see here are set apart. They are exposed to the gospel. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There are various forms of fornication that will erode love. There is moral as well as spiritual fornication. One of the greatest forms of fornication the scriptures often speak about is spiritual fornication, where many of God's people have a fondness for this world. They give themselves to this world. They can't come to church, but they can always be on an aircraft going somewhere on a pleasure trip. And I've spoken about it numerous times and will speak until my mouth is closed. Having looked at Charlie and see what Charlie is going through, you never know when you preach your last sermon. And thus you must be faithful every time you come to preach God's word. The writer also gives an absolute. He shows a negative past and a positive present relative to the Christian walk, verses 8 through 10. For we were sometimes darkness, negative, but now are you light in the Lord, positive. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. When you walk in righteousness and truth, you prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is the theme word in Ephesians 4 and 5. Walking, living out our pilgrimage in the world. We're told in Ephesians 4:17, do not walk as other nations or Gentiles walk. We're told in Ephesians 5:2 here, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us. We just told in Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly, carefully. All of these sets the conclusive words in Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Before light, we must be awakened. How are you going to see light if you're sleeping? Before light, we must be awakened from our sleep. And some of you are still in a sleep. There are at least three meanings to this word sleep. You've heard me say it before. One is when a person has died in Christ. For we shall not all sleep. Jesus said, Lazarus is not dead, he's sleeping. Oh, they laughed, but they didn't understand that death for the believer is asleep. The other usage of the word sleep is when a person has literally fallen asleep. Like so many of you do here and think, I don't see. When you're breaking off your neck. Sleeping. The worst place you could sleep physically is under the preaching of the gospel. It is really a sign of disrespect and unpreparedness for the worshiper. But there's a third word the apostle uses that refers to a person who is sleeping. And that is one who is spiritually lethargic and unable to hear God's word. Paul said to the Thessalonian church, let us not sleep as others. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. It's a play on words. The night has to do with being unsaved in darkness. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They are in an unconverted state. Here he was referring to some in the congregation who were spiritually asleep. So the exhortation tonight that I bring before you has three short heads. The first one is wake up. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The text says, wherefore he says. Where did the Lord say these words before? It's a quote from Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. In anticipation of Christ coming with the gospel to the Gentiles, before you can shine, you must arise. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Before the glory of God can be seen upon us, we have to arise from sleep. Who has heard these words, arise from sleep? Jonah. Jonah was brought to his senses with these words. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Jonah was literally asleep. But Jonah was in a spiritual backslidden state. Like so many. The wrong place at the wrong time. Many are like that in City View Baptist Church. Or maybe some are listening to me. You don't even know that you are in a backslidden state. Because you're sleeping. The shipmaster. What a picture. We have a shipmaster that is coming to us as he came to Jonah. Making a call to us, saying, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The number of things that causes one to sleep. Tiredness is one. And you shouldn't come to church tired. Lord has given us ample time to prepare to worship Him. Ample time. I just come from a different time zone. 7 hours. Body all confused. Wake up at 4 o'clock this morning looking for real food, rice. That's not normal. It'll go away in 3 weeks. You got to watch yourself when you come back from Zimbabwe, or you'll come from one extreme to the next. Next thing you know, you got big guts again. Eating uncontrollably. Because your mind can't seem to get used. You don't know. But some of you know. You've been there. You understand. But sleepiness, tiredness causes us to sleep. Sickness causes us to sleep. But there's another reason why people sleep. Indifference. This was Jonah's case. That knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is for... And a night is always associated with sleeping, and rightly so. Some of you work at night. I can't understand working at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I get a call in Zimbabwe, and when I look at the other end, it's 2 o'clock. Well, calling on you. Never sleep. I said, well, you at work. But indifference. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And by the way, here's a play on words again. The night is far spent. The life of sin is far spent. The day of Christ is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, the sin that we practice. Let us put on the armor of light. That's a classic. Let us walk honestly as in the day. In other words, let us walk honestly as though we are Christians, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. And one of the biggest problems we have, brethren, is making provisions for the flesh. Making provisions for the flesh. Don't make provisions for the spiritual, but for the flesh. And that itself is a serious temptation in making provisions for the flesh. To fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah, this kind of awakening we are being called to. So this is the Lord's call to His people. Wake up. Second, walk up. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. The word circumspect is cautiously, not carelessly. The word is explained in the clause that follows, not as fools. A foolish walk is not a walk that is circumspect. You know, a lot of Christians today is taking this virus for a joke, and it has divided so many churches. Pastors are getting on their pulpit, and instead of speaking the word of God, is speaking about the COVID virus. And it has split many churches in two. Hopefully, it doesn't affect us this way, but we got our problems in here. We got big problems in here too. And some of us think that this virus is a joke. And one of the lines that they're running is, God is sovereign. And if you're going to get the virus, you're going to get it. Yes, God is sovereign. But He exercises sovereignty by the means He established, such as government and medicine. And I didn't say much about it, but some of you are toying around with this church and with your brethren. And I have to say, and some of you have even mocked the means that God has provided. And it is time that the pastor of the church speak about it. God is sovereign, but he has established the means, such as government, as ungodly as they are, and medicine. If you come down with prostate cancer, go and see the urologist. He has something for you. The knife or chemotherapy. And I would advise you and I would counsel you to go that way. Listen to me. Mary and Joseph were mandated to return to Nazareth by a heathen leader that a census may be taken. They obeyed. And their act of obedience, and through their act of obedience, Jesus was born according to Scripture. And I don't know where you're getting your information from, but you better walk circumspectly. You better walk up. In this season, many are risking the health of others without any concern for their brethren. Love is sacrificing ourselves on the altar on behalf of our brethren. And that's all I'm going to say. Dion just called me, call us and tell us what is going on in her church, and is now in the process of looking for somewhere else to go. The sensible child. We all need to wake up, but we also need to walk up. And we can be very sneaky, hiding. And we are family, church family. If you got children in your house that is sneaky and hiding on the corners, and it's not a good home. This is not a good home. Walk up. Wake up, walk up. And children are lagging behind, and I heard this many times, adults say, walk up, man. And sometimes we have to say these words to Christians who are lagging spiritually. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. And this has a broad application. Morally, spiritually, naturally, physically, walk circumspectly. Be careful. Do your utmost best to be careful. Not as fools. Lot's wife did not walk up. She walked behind her husband. She was captivated by Sodom. She looked back from behind her husband. Her eyes were in the rearview mirror. And many so-called Christians have their eyes in the rearview mirror. Walk up. Their eyes are in the mirror. I remember Pastor Martin said in his lecture to men in moral purity, how many times you men saw that lady in her sweats driving with your wife. She passes you, but you make sure that you focus on her in your rearview mirror. These are the things we hear that are true, that cause us to walk up circumspectly. These are the things you don't hear. But I hear them. A preacher must know all the dirt that he can rightly minister to the dirty. Apostle said, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind in the rearview mirror, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, heavenward. Looking back is for duffies. He that put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Don't ever say, I'm sorry that I did this or I did that. And like Marion Tagiri said, Pastor, I regret that I ever had those orphans at my house. I regret. No thanks. You don't regret. Look ahead. Press forward to the calling. Let us walk up cautiously. So we are called to wake up, walk up. But lastly, wise up. Wise up. 15 through 7. See, then he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, I can understand ministering to the people in rural Zimbabwe, where two-thirds or more don't have a Bible or can't read a Bible. But what I cannot understand is how so many have a Bible, hear the Bible, and don't know the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You listening? It means set apart. You see, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the day is set apart. I don't want to hear anything else. It is set apart. That you should abstain from fornication. Here's it again. And a lot of city view people, we have provided a means that if you are absent, you can listen to the gospel. And those very means are neglected. They don't watch, they don't care, they don't support our ministry. Oh yeah, they may throw a few dollars in the offering plate, but they do not support this ministry. And what's the use of you being a member of this church and the pastor is laboring here and you are doing something else there? And I want you to hear. I want you to hear me, because I am at odds with you. Wise up. The apostle says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Your vessel is your body, and you should know how to possess that vessel, where to carry it, where not to carry it, when to carry it. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Charlie, you see this verse? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. Today's you, tomorrow's me. Give thanks. That's God's will for you. Are you reduced to a circumstance? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wise up. Instead of some redeeming the time, a lot of you are abusing the time. stealing the time. Time belongs to God. He has loaned us time. Psalm 90. The days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they may be full. Yet labor, toil, pain. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to Christ. We're not doing that. The older we get, the more stupid we get. Mm-hmm. Always complaining about some pain, but when it is time to be in the club or the center, the age old people center, we are there. Whatever gig they have, you're there, and I'm here, and you have a neighbor who goes to the center. And some of you, your foot hurting you at church. It's not hurting you when it is time to go to the center. Wise up. Don't be like the virgins who had lamps but no oil. They had a testimony, but they have no Savior. They were foolish. They were church members. But that's all, like Brother Depo was saying. They were gripping onto the altar, but they had no assurance of salvation. They were not wise. Wise up. Instead of some, as I was saying, redeeming the time, they are abusing God's time. More time seems to be given to self and selfish goals than spiritual goals. They said it, well, let me leave that alone. Time gets away very fast. Time is one of the commodities that are not our own. Life can change in a moment. Make spiritual use of your time now. Redeem it. To redeem is to buy back that which was lost. When you and I were a child of the devil, most, if not all, of our time was given to his cause. Now that we have become the children of God, we seek to redeem those days that were squandered. That is what it means to redeem the time. The same energy, like Paul said, that you exercise in the world, exercise that energy. Marcel says, Brian, you've got a lot of energy. I don't know where you get it from. Well, I tell you where you get it from. That's what she said to me. See you here, there, and everywhere down here. Where you get this energy from? You went down by Missouri, you went down by the other. That's why I went to Zimbabwe. Because God gave me the energy to redeem. Buy back. We salvage our days upon the earth. I don't know how much more days I have. And that's what I said to you, man, yesterday. I would rather be spent and spend. God said through the prophet Joel, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the plow worm. My great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. God said to ancient Israel, I will restore the years that the devil has taken from you. Is that your position? Is that your position? Let me ask you, are you looking for more years to give to the devil? apostle says, "Wherefore be you not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Know what is going on around you in this evil world. Observe the falling away of your church, the many who have cast the law behind their backs. Wise up, men in this church." 5 of the 10 virgins woke up, but they never wise up. You can wake up, but you have to walk up and you have to wise up. Understand what I'm saying? They sought wisdom when it was too late. They were told, "Go and buy." You can't buy salvation. It's given by grace. Whatever they went to buy could not get them in to see the bridegroom. And whatever you will be looking for in the future, you will be too late. It is time now to wise up. This is the exhortation. By the time the virgins return, it was curtains. By the Lord's help, this is what we have endeavored to do, to redeem the time, to redeem the days that were eaten. So if you believe in making New Year's resolutions, this is a good one to make. Ephesians 5:14-16. Wake up. If you are in a spiritual stupor, unable to see the spiritual climate around you and in your church, and some of your homes are affected by this apostate culture, wake up. You hear what I say to some of you, fathers, mothers? Wake up. Walk up. Wise up. I am watching you more carefully. Unable to see the spiritual climate in your life? These three things. Walk up. If you are walking up, you would not be looking back. You're too busy walking up to look back. If we find ourselves behind the eight ball, lackluster in our worship service, we don't even want to say amen at the end of the song anymore, or at the end of the prayer, just a grunt. What kind of worship is that? You may be sleeping. Look around. Spiritual climate in your church. See the lackluster approach. It seems as though things gotten worse since I leave here. Worse! Look around outside and see the need. Listen to the reports which I might bring. Wise up. The days are evil. And this is the exhortation I pondered. Even though we preach on this text many times, I heard that Brother DeWanna preach on this text. I don't know. I heard. Yeah? But here's God again reminding us, valuing the time instead of stealing it and wasting. Don't call me. And some of you I ain't even see today. Said nothing. Is that the way it's supposed to be as a Christian? As a church member? Wake up. Walk up. Wise up. Let's pray. The Bible, the Word of God, is so clear. We ask you will grant us much wisdom in our approach to preaching, in our approach to making applications to our people. We beg, O Lord God, you will help us to wake up, to walk up rightly, and to wise up, that we may have oil in our lamps when the bridegroom appears. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.